What is the purpose of the Christian life? What has Jesus saved us for? As believers, are we simply biding our time on this earth until we get to heaven? Or could there be a higher calling on our lives? A kingdom calling? We believe there is. Indeed, Jesus has called his followers to a meaningful purpose and mission for this life. It's a life-changing, global perspective that has been entrusted to all Christians. In this series, we'll take a closer look at what that could mean for each one of us. Join us for the Kingdom Calling.
What did I tell you? Is that awesome or what? Man, Jonathan, you're so cool, dude. I want to be like you when I grow up. Hey, guys, Pastor Brian, long time no see. Unfortunately, I'm back. Sorry. Hey, I'm excited to be preaching with y'all today. My mama's in the house, so everybody go look over here. Say, hey, mama. Yeah, we're gonna preach like a Puritan. I'm fiery tonight. I'm so excited my mama could worship with us. All right, so today we're starting a new series titled The Kingdom Calling, like you just heard. And today we want to begin with a really big, deep, theological, philosophical question. Are you ready for that? Here we go. Write it down. Do you believe that God has a purpose for your life? A couple yeses, a couple crickets, some sarcasm mixed in there, right? That's a big question. Some of you may be thinking, yeah, well, the way things are going right now, it seems like he's probably taking a nap or something. Or you're going, man, I'm not really sure I know what that purpose is. I hear about it all the time. Or maybe you're like, I just don't even think God has any sort of purpose for my life. I don't really understand what I'm doing. But let's be honest, you and I are going to be on this planet for an undetermined amount of time. The things that we're going to do on Earth, we're going to spend a lot of time doing lots of certain things. Some of these things are important, right? We're going to work, we're going to have fun, careers, maybe get married, have a family, things like that, have children, go on vacations. And those things are pretty cool, right? Then there's also some things that are kind of not so much important, things that we waste our time in our life and maybe even find our own identity in. But that still might not help you answer the question, right? I have some of those things. I aspire to have some of those things. But what does that have to do with my purpose? Do I have a purpose? And does God care, or does he have a plan for my life? So if God has spoken and he said that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we have a specific purpose, say he said that, right? And say that he said that there's something bigger than this life that he says we get to play a significant role in. Wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't you want to know if God said that? Well, spoiler alert, he has spoken, and we can know. That's what this series is all about, the kingdom calling. What has God called us to? And over the last year, last fall, your pastors here at the Rock Church, as well as some of the other pastors in our association of churches, our church movement called the M28 Alliance, we started this class called Perspectives, which is essentially global missions and reaching the world, or basically Christianity past like the tips of our noses. And this course is focused on communicating this biblical idea that God right now has, and God has always had, a heart for people. The greatest purpose in this world that God is at work in every day is drawing men and women who are far from him to him. People from all nations and tribes and cul-de-sacs and cultures, people who are separated, distanced from God, right now in our world, God is at work drawing people to himself. And so every week, as we would be going through these lectures and this homework, it was like a big book, and then there was the homework, which was like the bigger book. It was a blessing, but also a little bit of a nightmare. It was so much fun. But every week, we'd be going through these talks and hearing these lectures, and we'd be flying in and meeting together and hearing other teachers teach on these topics. It just kind of started to re-energize us. We had this new zeal, thinking about, man, all of these things that God's doing in our world. And then how God uses everyday people like you and I to participate in that. And what came from that is this series that we're starting today. We feel like the Lord has pressed it onto us as your pastors to share with our church this idea, to explore some of these topics that came from perspective. So over the next 6 weeks, we're going to dive into that. We're going to be looking at what does the Bible have to say about what God's doing in our world? What has God called us to be about in this world? What should our motivation be? What is our purpose? How should we live our lives knowing what God has said and what he's invited us to do? That's our kingdom calling. So in this series, we're going to present this biblical case that God has a heart for all people. And that should affect us, right? That should if God's changed us and he's moved in our lives, that should really change the way we value other people. So that's the kingdom calling. Quite simply, in the next 6 weeks, you're going to hear this, that God has blessed us. He's given us so much, and he's invited us to participate in what he's doing in this world. So, from our cul-de-sacs to the edges of the earth, so as we kick off our series, I've titled our sermon this weekend, Our Purpose, Blessed to be a Blessing. Our main idea this weekend is that God has blessed us, and our response should be, bless others. That's the big idea. Since the beginning of God's story, you read this, the beginning of our story, honestly, what we've experienced is that God is a good God who has chosen to freely bless his people. And in response, that should change the way we view other people. So what does that mean to be blessed? Blessed is a very popular word in our culture and our church today, isn't it? It's a word that gets thrown around quite a bit, usually with a hashtag in front of it. It gets muddied up, it gets confused very easily. And honestly, I would not doubt there are many Christians in the room right now who aren't even entirely sure what blessed means. We know it's in our Bible. We know the word blessing and blessed is in our Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. When we turn on the TV and we scroll through our social media feeds, the word gets thrown around. And it's sort of become like, honestly, it's kind of become like this humble way of boasting. For example, oh, I got a new job, blessed. College scholarship, blessed. Look at my perfect kids, blessed. I lost 4 pounds, blessed. What, free meal at Cafe Rio? Blessed. Is that what it means to be blessed? Does blessed just mean simply something successful or prosperity in this life, external stuff, right? I don't think so. I think we've kind of commercialized, we've misunderstood this entire idea of what it means to be blessed. Our world has kind of just turned it into this term that describes materialism, right? And that's far, far from biblical. And now it's certainly true that the earthly gifts that we receive in this life, the free meals, right? Our kids being a blessing, our friendships, whatever, the comforts that we receive in this life, surely those can be accredited to God because what does it say in James that the Father gives us perfect gifts from above? Like we believe that, we understand that, but the plain and biblical understanding of blessed is not really anything to do with wealth or outcomes or circumstances. The truest form of being blessed is to have a right understanding about who God is and who we are. To be blessed means to understand that God has given us something that we didn't earn, that we didn't deserve, that we were once a people far off from him. Like we read in this Bible over and over and over, God draws people to him. We were wretched and sinful. We were lost without a shepherd. And yet God, in his kindness and in his mercy, he still pursued us. And he drew us into a life-giving relationship. He pulled us out of the water. We were dead, and he made us alive. He gives us rebirth, a spiritual regeneration. He makes us new. He gives us new passions and desires and treasures for him. We have been born again and made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be blessed by God. God has done something in our life that we didn't earn and we didn't deserve, but he freely chose to give it to us. Hashtag blessed. So now, why does God bless us? And that's your first big point if you want to follow along in your handout or on the message blanks or wherever you feel comfy writing things down. God cares about people. Very simple, right? This is 101. This is simple. But yet it's so foundational for our understanding about who God is, that God cares about humanity. He cared about you. It's a common theme throughout our Bible that just weaves in and out with every story. You guys know these verses. In Isaiah, we read about a God who says, "Fear not, because I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." Jesus shows up and he says, "Come to me. Are you tired? Are you burdened? Are you stressed? Are you worrisome? Are you fearful? Come to me. I will give you rest." Peter tells us that we can cast our anxieties upon God because he cares for you. That's the God of the Bible. He cares about people. He loves the men and women he has created in his image. And he has chosen to save these people who have rebelled and gone so far away from him. And he chooses to lavish his blessings upon them. It's truly a grace and a mercy that you and I, we do not deserve. But our Bible, from cover to cover, is about this redemptive story of God saving his people. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve chose to not obey God, is God really good? They chose to disobey God. God ultimately pursues them and says, "Where are you?" And he tells them of the ultimate reality that redemption is going to be coming through Jesus Christ. When God floods the world, he chooses to save Noah and his family. The whole world did evil continually, but Noah, I'm choosing to do something good in your life that you don't deserve. Blessed. When God rescues Israel from slavery by the hands of Pharaoh, he goes, "Let my people go," not just so they could just run around and do cartwheels and play pickleball or whatever out. And no, he said, "No, so they can come worship me." God chooses, he wants to save, he wants to pursue, he loves his people. God sends Jonah, "Go preach to the people of Nineveh. They're doing some bad stuff. They need to repent because I care about them. Go preach the good news to them that they need to repent and trust in me." God blesses people. So then is that it? The story is just God blesses people because he wants to do that. Great, cool, we made the team. I'll put on the jersey. Let's sip some tea and watch the rest of the game, see how it all ends. No, there's so much more to the Christian life. That's our second big idea. God blesses his people for a purpose. Christian, you have a purpose. Again, our Bible from cover to cover repeats this idea over and over again that God saves people for his glory, for his purposes. Amen. But that's not it. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. You guys may know this story. When we meet Abraham in Scripture, he's a nobody. He's nothing special. He's a pagan. He's just living with his ancestors. He's an old man just worshiping the sun or the moon or something. Like astrology. He was a pagan. Idolatry. And then God shows up. And he says to Abraham, "Hey, I've got something better for you than what you got going on, this hot mess you got going on right here that's not going to end well for you. I've got something better for you, Abram." And he says this, "Go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house, all those people that you're living with, you're an old man worshiping false gods. It's time for you to move on from that to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." God says, "Abraham, trust me. I'm going to show you something. What I'm going to do through you is going to be great. I'm going to bless you. But that's not all. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." God's never just been about blessing people so we can sit around on the couch and get fat and lazy. He says, "Abraham, I'm not just pulling you out of that life of paganism and idolatry for nothing." He says, no, now you're actually going to go and bless. I'm going to take you places, and you're going to bless the world. 2,000 years later, a story you're more familiar with, Jesus, he shows up, and he has this interaction with a guy named Peter. I don't have the verses on the screen, but if you go to Luke chapter 5, you can follow along with me. Basically, Peter's just this fisherman. Nothing very significant, nothing very important about Peter. He's not the Peter we know. He's not the apostle Peter. He's not writing books of the Bible Peter at this time. It's just fisherman 9-to-5 Peter. And he's been fishing all night. So that was a night shift, 9-to-5 apparently. Okay. And he comes up empty-handed, okay? You know you've had a bad day at work when it's your job to catch fish, and after 9 hours, you don't catch one fish. That's a bad day. And then Jesus shows up, starts teaching and preaching, and he goes, hey, Peter, cool boat. Hey, do me a favor. I want you to put your net down there, and I want you to pull out some fish. And Peter goes, oh, master, you know, like, here's the thing. It's kind of my job. It's what I do. I've been out here all night. We didn't get one. But, okay, because you say so, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so he throws down the nets, and then what happens? Verse 6, when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. What? It's miraculous. What did Jesus just do? Oh, he just blessed Peter. Didn't have to do it. Chose to do it. And then Peter, terrified, he's like, oh, man, I don't. Actually, another boat. It says another boat shows up, and that one starts to sink with fish, too, because he's the bad boy boogie. And he goes, man, Jesus, you need to depart from me. I'm not worthy of this. I don't deserve this. That's just not. And then Jesus goes, hey, don't be afraid. God loves to say that to his people. Hey, don't be afraid. He says, now I got something better for you. He says, now you will fish for people. So what is the story with Abraham? How does that connect? How does that relate to this story with Jesus and Peter? Because they are both about God blessing people. And then in turn, calling them to go and bless others. Do you see that here? God blessed Abraham, Genesis 12. He says, hey, you're not just going to sit around here anymore and worship demons, okay? Got something better for your life. You're going to go and bless the world. Then Jesus shows up to Peter. He says, hey, there's something more important for you. There's a greater purpose in your life than just sit here working the night shift, fishing for fish. You're going to go fish for people. You're going to make fishers of men. You're going to go change the world. Follow me. And these men were nobodies. Abraham, nothing spectacular, nothing fancy, didn't have Bible memorized, didn't have Bible. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a priest. Peter wasn't a priest, he wasn't a rabbi, just ordinary people, but God chooses to use the most simple to change the world. Listen, that fires me up. That fires me up. Up, friends, beloved, because God has called, what God has called Abraham to, what God called Peter and the disciples to, it's the same exact thing that he's called us to. Do you understand that? God's blessed our life for a purpose. Here's one way we say it. It's a pretty popular verse. We all know it very well. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, go, therefore, and make disciples. If you know Jesus, if Jesus has saved you, if God has blessed you through the atoning sacrifice, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, then he's blessed you for a purpose. He's got plans for you. And he says, go. Go bless the world. Go make disciples. Go teach people about the God who loves them, that they are far off from, that they will be separated from for an eternity. Go make disciples. Tell them about how good and patient and kind and loving God has been towards them. Go bless the world. That's what we've been invited to. We get to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's what we all want. We all want to be important. We all want to aspire to be something so cool. We all want that. What's God's purpose for my life? Here's the greatest purpose in the world. Are you about that life? Because there's blessing there. There's purpose there. We all want to be a part of something big, right? That's why we double down and we'll give up our lives to our political party or community organizations or our sports teams. I went to the Jazz game the other night. Man, that was like a religious experience. Like 20,000 people going, let's do something at the same time. Okay. I was part of it. I'm guilty. It was incredible. We buy $6 bottles of water because we're told that it's going to support relief and aid to like third world countries. And that's not bad, but we want to contribute. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Listen, God's invited us to be a part of the biggest purpose in the world. Isn't that fire you up? We all want to be a part of something big, right? We want people to know us. We want our heroes to know us. We want our idols to think we're special, right? We want to be remembered forever. Here's the biggest movement in the world. Imagine for a second, right? Just role play in your brain. If your favorite athlete invited you, if LeBron James the other day was like, hey, listen, we're not going to make it out of this first round without you. We need to get you in here because we're dying. You'd be like, what, me? No, what? That would fire you up. Or your favorite author, Stephen King, was like, hey, I just can't finish this book and I just really need your help. And do you have any ideas? You'd be like, what? I've been, yes. If your favorite band, Metallica or BTS or Beyonce, was like, yo, I just can't finish this hook. Can you help me write this song? You'd be like, what? Yes, I've been dying for this moment. Just imagine that, right? Somebody important needed you to contribute to what they're doing. Listen, God's invited you to something eternally more significant. He says, make disciples. God wants to use your life to bless the world. There's no greater purpose for that for your life than that, beloved. Which leads to our final idea. Y'all are getting out of here early tonight, huh? You're welcome. Doesn't happen often. So, because God cares about people, your final fill in the blank, if you'd like, big idea. We must be a people. We must care about people too. Over the next 6 weeks, that's going to be our focus. Our faith should impact the world around us. This is the kingdom calling. You see, it's not just about the vertical. It's not just about your relationship between you and God, which is essential. That's the most important thing. You need to love God and to worship God and to adore God and cry out to God and to pray to him and depend upon him and speak to him and to learn from him and sing to him, all those things. Yes, of course, our faith and our relationship with Jesus, the vertical, that's so essential to our faith, no doubt. Jesus says that. He says that is true in Matthew. Oh, where do we go? Matthew, here it is, Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Yes, that's the verse. Yes, you and God, absolutely. But so many believers live their entire lives thinking that their faith is solely between them and God. If you don't understand that your faith is more than just something to consume, but to give it away, you're missing it. You're missing what God has for your life. Because that's not what all Jesus said, right? That's just the vertical, but listen, the second great commandment, verse 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the horizontal. Oh, so my faith, my lifeline's right here, and then it should actually affect everything horizontally. Oh. As kingdom people, many of us need to hear this. In our worship of God, there must be a response that moves from the vertical to the horizontal. Our response to God's love for us should transform our hearts and our minds and our souls for the people around us. Because God cares about people, we must care about people too. Big question. Does your love for God change the way you love people? Like you literally see people differently than you once used to. I'm going to be real with you. I do not think it is possible for someone to have experienced the love of God, to have received his blessing in your life. I don't think it's possible for you to experience that and to possess that without pouring it out on everybody that comes in contact with you. 1 John 4, beloved, if God has loved us, we also ought to love one another. Right, that's conditional. If God has loved you, man, that's gonna change some things in your heart. That's gonna change some things in your mind. That's gonna change the way you see people. I'm going to see your love for Jesus most clearly in the way you love others. When I first came to Christ, 2006, I think, 2005. Mama would probably know. Sleece would know. It wasn't a Bible verse that changed my life. It wasn't a song. It wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a book thrown at me. It was people. Jesus people. Weird. Different. Cared about me. Their faith, what they believed, what they said they experienced with God actually impacted other people. Their faith extended past the tips of their nose. It became horizontal. They would talk to me about Jesus, and then they would keep asking me and talking to me about Jesus. It was always things about Jesus. At meals, they would pray to Jesus. They'd have me over and continue to talk about Jesus with other people. It was called small group at the time, Bible study. I didn't know that. I didn't know what I signed up for. But they would answer my questions about Jesus. They would show up and they'd stick around in my life when things were really messy because they loved Jesus. Christians should look so much different. How many of our stories sound exactly like that? Somebody's love for Jesus transformed the way that they loved you. And your life has never been the same. Just like the love and blessing Abraham received from the Lord transformed his life and his purpose. Just like the love and blessing that Peter and the apostles received from Jesus transformed their life and their purpose, the same is true for us. The love and the blessing that we have received from Jesus will transform your life and your purpose. Beloved, your greatest purpose in this life is to bless others by bringing them to Jesus. That's the greatest purpose. Because he's the source of all of our blessing. This means our neighbors who don't know Jesus, our relatives, our roommates, our coworkers who don't know Jesus, our cities, our state, our nation. This world is full of men and women made in the image of God, and they don't know him. They've never heard the name of Jesus. And God says, hey, I want you to bless the world. God invites us to join him in the work that he's doing. That should fire us up. We should stand up now and just go. I can tell you, back in my day when I was younger, my dad used to, end with this, I think. My dad used to take me to work with him on the weekends on Saturday. And he worked in a big, giant warehouse, like a food distribution center. Giant, giant warehouse. Frozen section, coolers. It was like a madhouse. It was so fun. There was tons of electronic pallet jacks and forklifts and stuff. Free access for me all Saturday. It was amazing. All to myself, so much fun. Was it safe? Does it make me question my dad's capabilities as a parent back in the day? Absolutely. Did I help my dad? Do you think my dad inviting me to work with him on Saturdays, do you think I helped him in any way whatsoever? Absolutely not. 100% actually made things harder for him, slowed him down. But I still had a blast because my dad invited me to come spend Saturdays with him while he worked. He didn't have to invite me, but he chose to. What I had to offer didn't help. It didn't contribute, but he invited me anyways. It made me feel so special. It's like I had a purpose to help my dad on a Saturday at an empty warehouse. Listen, God has invited you to come to work with him. And unlike me wasting my dad's Saturdays, Jesus actually says that what you have to contribute, your input, is actually going to contribute to his work in this world of drawing men and women to himself. That should fire us up. Christian, you are a gift in this world solely on the fact that God has chosen to save you and bless you. Right? There was nothing significant about Peter or Abraham that God went, ah, finally, somebody shows up that I can do something with. No, God just chooses everyday people like me and you. He pursues them, he loves them, and he steps us, he brings us to the plate, and he says, welcome to this new world that I've called you to. And the Lord says, all the things that make you, Christian, are unique. Your gifts, your brain, your talents, your kindness, your personality, your lack of personality, your compassion, your love, your joy, your peace. Jesus says, yes, all of those things I've given you. Now go bless the world. Go give those things away. I love R.C. Sproul, God rest his soul. He says, one of the worst things we could ever do is to waste the gifts that God has given to us. What a wasted life. Don't waste your life. God's given you so many things that make you unique. Don't waste your life assuming that you don't have the stuff that God can use. God is going to bless the world through you if you just believe it. Give your life to this work that God is doing in our world, because what you have to offer is so valuable. The faith and the joy that we have received in God is not just something we scoop up into a jar and we hold back in a corner to make sure no one can get a whiff of it. No, we give it away. Smell this. Your faith is a gift that you can give to a world that don't know the God who created them. That's what our whole series over the next 6 weeks is going to be about. That's the theme we're going to be coming back to week after week. This is going to be demonstrated in missions. And the thought of that might really scare you. This is going to be demonstrated in evangelism. And that might really scare you. This is going to be demonstrated in compassion, hospitality. And that may be really hard for you. This is going to be demonstrated in discipleship. And that might really frustrate you. This is going to be demonstrated in marriage, in parenting. And you may be going, good luck. Or maybe this is going to be demonstrated in your money. And that might make you really uncomfortable. Will you be a vessel that God will use to be a blessing in this world? I'll leave you with this final question. Write it down. Think about it. I want it to bug you. That's my heart. I want this sentence to bug you. Do I live my day-to-day life believing that God wants to use me? Do I live my day-to-day life believing that God wants to use me? God's going to use everything that's unique about you, Christian. You've got to believe that. You have so many gifts, your passions, your talents. Maybe it's your faults and your failures, right? Maybe it's your upbringing. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's your pain and the sorrow that you've experienced. Do not believe that because of who you are or where you've been, that your life is insignificant for the purposes of God. Don't believe that for a second. Do not believe for one second that what makes you you is not the stuff that God makes use, that God can make useful. We are all invited into this kingdom mission of God. It is the greatest purpose for your life. Whether it's in our home or it's in our cities or it's further out into the world, from living on mission in our neighborhoods to sending out and supporting missionaries all over the world. This is the greatest purpose. This is our kingdom calling. And I'm excited for what God may be teaching us, what he's going to reveal to us over the next few weeks as we dive further into this series. And I hope you are excited as well. That was the intro. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your word, that your word is truth, that you've chosen to love us and bless us. I thank you, Lord, that you've invited us to be about your business, that you care about people, and God, that you've given us hearts that should care about people as well. Lord, we ask that you would do that work in our lives, that you would convict us, any of us who may feel like we're just kind of sitting on the sidelines of our faith, that you would open up the opportunities for us to live our day-to-day lives for your purposes. God, we really do want you to do a good work on our lives. We really do want to amount to something greater than this world has to offer. And Jesus, for those who follow you, who obey you, who have been blessed by you, you've told us that there's no greater reward, there's no greater work, there's no greater purpose in this world than to be committed to loving you and loving others. God, I pray that you would fire us up with a passion to draw more men and women and children and family and neighbors, all the people in our world that don't know you. God, would you use us as your vessel to draw them to faith in Jesus? And we ask that in your name. Amen.